Hey everybody, this is your host, LaVie. Welcome to Thrift Therapy, the podcast all about thrift life. Recycling, collecting, DIYing, all the ups and downs, ins and outs of thrifting. So glad you joined me for this thrift adventure. Hello. It's been a long time. How are y'all doing? I mean, a lot of shit's happened over here where I live. Or should I say lived? I no longer live in Texas. And I have decided to become a digital nomad. If you don't know what that is, Google it. I think you'll be pleased that such a thing exists. And I am going to be thrifting the world. So I'm glad I still have this platform, and I plan on using it more often. But as a sort of Merry Christmas gift, I thought I would release an episode that I recorded earlier this year that I just never got around to releasing. And guess what? I have more of those. Somehow during the pandemic, I just lost joy for sitting at my desk and editing and recording a podcast means sitting at your desk. So it took me a while to figure out why I didn't want to make the podcast, but then it finally dawned on me after spending 6 hours a day glued to my desk chair and Zoom recordings and calls for my job. I just couldn't do it anymore. But now I'm living a different lifestyle. I'm traveling and I'm thrifting in totally new places. Like this summer, I went thrifting in Paris, France. I went thrifting in Birmingham, England, and I went thrifting in London. And I would have loved to tell you about it, but I wasn't making the podcast at that time. And when we came back from Europe, it was just a shit show here in the States. Like, that's right when the Uvalde massacre happened. And Roe v. Wade was overturned just a few weeks later. And I was like, I have to get the hell out of here. Long story short, here I am again. Here you are again. Let's talk thrift, shall we? Okay, so the recording I'm going to release for you today is an interview I did with a Goodwill worker in Chicago, Illinois. They wanted to remain anonymous. I'm not sure why they didn't give me a lot of dirt, but I guess it's hard for me to say. You listen to the recording and you decide. Why would someone want to be anonymous on the show? No judgment from me. Well, without further ado, here's Mike. Hello, Mike. Welcome to Thrift Therapy Podcast.
Hello. So it's good to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you. So thanks for stopping by the show. I'm excited to talk about the work you do. And just to give the listeners an insight is that Mike is not your real name. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about why you wouldn't want to go by your real name?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just feel like, you know, I don't want to really risk entirely my job, you know, for stuff I talk about Goodwill and so on, by giving my real information and where I just where I work and my real name, just in case if any one of my managers does stumble upon this, like they don't think like, oh, okay.
Oh, I see. So this is like a high risk
kind
of reporting. I mean, like I'm some kind of like corporate espionage reporter or something.
Maybe, yeah, because there's some stuff that, depending what we talk about, that I can't really talk about at Goodwill by giving away my real information.
So that brings up my first question about working at Goodwill. Mm-hmm. When you get hired at Goodwill and you get trained, are there things that they teach you that you're not supposed to tell the customers?
Yeah, we can't, most importantly, we can't really tell them that that we don't recycle. So a lot of the...
Shit bombs.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff... So the recycling that we do is not plastic, reusable bags. We got rid of plastic bags as a whole, like, I think 3 years ago. And reusable bags is a good effort, but so...
So I just need to clarify. You're telling me that Goodwill does not actually recycle.
As far as I'm concerned, by looking at the whole process of, like, how we, like, quote-unquote get rid of donations is really interesting. It's very organized, but in the end, it all gets put into a compactor. And that either goes to, like, it gets treated as garbage, or depending how good salvage is, that goes to other Goodwill stores. But there aren't a lot of Goodwill stores within the Wisconsin, Illinois area, let alone in Chicago. There's only two Goodwills. There's one on West Loop, and there's one in Western.
Okay, so do you have, like, a Goodwill bins here in Illinois?
Like, for donations?
Uh-huh.
No, not really, actually, because it's such a, you know, like take Chicago, for instance. Like, it's a very urban city, right? There's not really a lot of places where we can put, like, those types of bins. Like, donations for that would just be, like, oh, go to the front of the store, drop it in bins, and then that gets processed.
Okay, so in Texas, they have these things so probably where some of the other goods go are to the Goodwill bins. And so that is like a place where you go in and you just dig through bins of stuff. Yeah. And so that's part of their recycling effort, I would imagine.
I'm sure in like, suburban areas. Yeah.
So they do recycle, but it's maybe not as
frequent
or as thorough as we're led to believe.
Which is why it's not entirely recycling. Like, they do bits and pieces, right? But, you know, like all of us, we do bits and pieces. But then, like, of course, we don't do the overall effort to recycle and to do a lot of things.
Do you recycle, like, employee trash?
Employee trash? That I'm not sure. That's
like,
not
do you sort out the cans and the bags and stuff like that? No.
No.
Oh, that's interesting. So we still have a long way to go in the sustainability community, I think, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, absolutely. It's not just with Goodwill, you know, like, even, like, major corporations, like, I've, like, worked in fast food a lot of my life, like, and that just gets thrown away, like, and you're aware, too, that, like, Dunkin', for example, just throws away, like, a bunch of leftover donuts, and workers are forbidden to either, one, take them home, and two, give it to the homeless, or those in need.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair, I guess Goodwill doesn't advertise itself as a sustainable company.
Yeah.
But I guess I, in my own mind, hold them to a higher standard than, say, McDonald's, because they're recycling goods in general. But good to know. Good to know.
Yeah.
Are there other things that working at Goodwill, it's like a secret, like a culture secret that you could share with us?
Most of it is just working at Goodwill and not necessarily, like, a cultural thing, like... working at Goodwill, like, they'll give you 5.5-hour shifts, so they don't give you a full lunch break. And the first month I started working there, they would only give me 5.5-hour, and maybe every once in a while, 1 6-hour shift.
And if you get a 6-hour shift, you get a lunch break.
Exactly.
I see.
So it's kind of like, and at first I didn't really mind much, because I was still getting hours, and I was calculating a lot of my hours and see how much money I would get.
Yeah.
But you start noticing that it gets frustrating because you want to work long hours, and especially during the summer when you don't have school or you don't have any other stuff, like, conflicting, you just want to work more hours because you, like, need money.
Right.
So it got frustrating for a bit. And this was, like, just working on sales on the floor. With pricing, it's different. You get treated like a full-time employee a lot, even when you're part-time, which... when working at Goodwill, it's a good thing because you get more hours. You get 7 to 8-hour shifts. So, but you start noticing things that it's very, I don't want to use the word sleazy, but something else. Like, it's very on the nose that, like, okay, I see what you're doing, but if you're gonna make me work 6 hours, might as well just give me a break.
So it's
or
like
a lunch.
It's legal, but maybe not entirely ethical.
Right.
Gotcha. Well, you know, I understand that Goodwill needs to make its money too, but it is a non-profit organization,
that's right?
Right?
Yeah, everything we get is pre-owned or is used. For example, our receipt printers are absolutely used. Half the time they won't print ink, and one of my managers had to, like, It's like I had to fist fight the machine, and then it got to working again. And that's when I realized how much of a nonprofit organization it was, because everything we have is used. So even carts, even like tapes, like we get box cutters that we don't even sell because they're so sharp. But on top of that, that's ours now.
Okay, That brings me to another question I have. Do Goodwill employees get to pick out what they want before it goes out to the floor?
No. Yeah, so the policy is like the product has to be out 30 minutes on the floor. And you can't lower the price so that way it fits your budget.
Okay, so how do you determine what the price of something is?
It really depends on logos and brands. So when we get Target shoes, right, so we have, there's two brands. There's Goodfellow and A New Day. I've been told, and what I do is that I price them at $6.99. But if we get stuff like, let's say, Steve Madden shoes, we will price that at like $10 to $12, depending on how good they are.
What about something like Prada?
Oh, that is like, we have to take that to the managers. Because then they look online through eBay because and we don't rely on retail prices because we're not technically like retail. We're resellers. So they go on eBay or Poshmark, and they make a price based off of that. So for example, we recently got Yeezy shoes. I think not the Crocs, but one of the bigger shoe brands. Bigger shoe models, my bad. And so they would, now recently that's like $350, maybe even more. So we would either price that as $100 or $150.
Okay, so that brings me to another question, which is, has the reselling boom affected the way that Goodwill prices their product?
Absolutely, and it's really just with inflation. So because inflation is so bad, like we had to cut out 50-cent prices. We have to price 99 cents or above.
Well, that's an interesting point. But what about reselling specifically?
Also, yeah, so it does affect because we have a community of resellers that come to like at least my store, and we know them by name because they come there every day finding stuff. And so they'll take that stuff and then price it more because we're trying to make it affordable at our stores because we are a thrift store.
So does the pricing at Goodwill go up based on what resellers are getting for the product?
No, it really depends, right? Because you don't want to make it like at the resale value because you still want to make it affordable, but you still want to like respect what other people are pricing it as.
Okay, so before there were resellers all over eBay and Facebook and yada yada, would that Yeezy shoe have still been priced $100 or would it have been $6.99?
I think it would have been priced at $100 still.
Even before the reselling
explosion. Before. I think it would have been priced at $10, honestly.
See, that is an ongoing debate in the reselling versus and thrift communities, is that resellers are harming the ability for people who actually need low-cost gear because they are proliferating thrift stores and driving up prices. It's like the gentrification of secondhand goods.
Yeah. And you know, there's even like a bigger problem too. It's like I saw a video of like a thrift convention. It's like Goodwill bins, but it's not Goodwill bins at the same time. It's just like, think of Comic-Con, but for used clothing that's ridiculously overpriced. And then that's also a problem with vintage clothing too.
Right.
Because that gets overpriced to retail at retail prices when it's supposed to be a thrift store, right? And so thankfully Goodwill doesn't really like do a lot of that. Like sometimes, depending on like how good the shirt is, like age-wise and like there's any stains on it, that affects pricing, or even if the brand is still popular, that's like when we go over $100 or like the $75 or the $50. But most of the time, that would just be like $20 or to like $14. But most of the time, the ranges of clothing will go from $5.99 to $9.99.
So in the reselling game, what would the solution be? Because, you know, it's bad for the reseller, too, for the price at Goodwill to go up because it cuts into their profit margin. Now, I've been a reseller in the past, and I definitely don't want that. I don't want to pay $100 for a Yeezy shoe and sell it for $300. I want to pay $20 for a resale shoe and sell it for $300. So it certainly is cutting into the reseller's profits as well. But they're part of the problem because they're driving the price up. So what do you think the answer is to that problem?
I think you just have to go with it. I mean, like, you know, if both, like both Goodwill and the reseller are just trying to sell this, are just trying to sell this one product, right? Goodwill is having this one price. The reseller wants to sell that price at a larger one, right? So essentially, overall, everyone's winning, or you just have to adapt.
Well, I mean, the buyer isn't winning because the prices go up and up.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm a cheap ass bitch, and I don't want to pay $300 for a Yeezy shoe. Guess how much I want to pay?
$13.99.
So I know you're. So I'm the person who has to adapt. Yeah. And I would say, from a sustainability model, as long as this sustainability ideas don't become part of corporate culture and the capitalistic machine, I think I would do that. But one of the reasons that I really enjoyed thrifting most of my life is because it sort of existed outside of capitalism. And so now that it's becoming gentrified and more corporate, and there are more people making money and profiting, quite frankly, from donations, then I think the donation model has to change.
Yeah.
Maybe they should, the people who are profiting should be paying the donator. The person who's donating the things maybe should get a little money for their donation.
I think the one thing that we do, like, for donations, that we give them, a tax receipt, so that way it's, like, a write-off of taxes for donations. But that's pretty much all we can do, essentially.
And I actually do own my own business and write and do taxes that allow for write-offs, but for your average person donating things, they're not, that's not even going to be something they can do. Like, the kinds of deductions you need for a tax write-off to be significant are in the thousands of dollars. And so it's really a, you know, it's a hand job in the parking lot.
Exactly.
So I'm not sure where that leaves us in the sustainability community, but I do like your comment about adaptation. I guess the thing that I want the most from this conversation is maybe tips on, well, I mean, I'm not an economist, so maybe I want an economist to come on and talk to me about how to solve this problem. But so let's switch over to other things I might want. Oh, how can we be better Goodwill shoppers? Whether we're a reseller or a cheap-ass bitch like me, or like somebody who's in need and needs to, you know, buy school clothes for their kids, like, how can we be better Goodwill shoppers?
One thing I always tell customers is to always have half of your purchases are have to be what's half off. And the other half doesn't have to be half off. I see a lot of customers just get one thing that's half off and then the rest is just like full price.
So you're saying that if you want to save money, shop the color of the week.
Exactly.
Be more picky.
Yeah. Be adaptive to what's happening. And so, and the best way to get that more half off is to, so Goodwill changes the color of the week every Tuesday, at least at my store. I'm sure it's different for other stores, but always keep track of like when they change the color, because there's only four colors.
That's good to know. There's only four colors. I don't guess I realized that. But where can you get that information for your local Goodwill?
They don't tell you that information because that's mainly for production purposes.
What if you ask?
Then they would tell you.
Okay, so you do, if you want to know, ask somebody who works at Goodwill. When do you change the color? But Tuesday might be a good starting place. They change it to Tuesdays in my location, too.
Right.
Okay, pretty much every thrift store I shop at has a color of the week, but there is this one Goodwill that I go to in New Braunfels, Texas, that does not have a color of the week. They have no tax sales ever.
Right.
Explain that to me.
Oh, I have no idea. I get paid minimum wage. Like, that's...
Okay, I'm sorry I put the pressure on that. I get it. But they also are bagless, which I really like. Mm-hmm. And I noticed here in the Midwest, where I am now, it is also bagless. Like, you have to bring your own bag. That is not true everywhere else I am. So is that something that Goodwill is trying to incorporate in all their locations?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, our managers would tell us if so. Like they would tell their employees, we're not selling furniture anymore because Goodwill has stopped accepting. Some Goodwills have stopped accepting furniture past a certain point. My Goodwill has stopped since November.
I noticed that y'all didn't have any furniture. Okay, all right. Well, so there are policies for what they'll accept and what they want to say and what they do. So you don't know if they're going bagless nationwide. Right.
Exactly. I think it ultimately, what it sounds like, depends on the store.
Okay. So it's still, it could also be a good idea to find out if you need to take bags. I think a lot of people that listen to this podcast anyway, are pretty big on carrying your own shopping bags. Mm-hmm. And frankly, when I was in Europe this past summer, if you didn't have a shopping bag, you weren't going to get a bag. So you shouldn't have bags anywhere. Like, you had to take your own bag if you wanted a bag. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good trend. I feel like that's a sustainability-minded move. Yeah, I like that one. And I know it saves corporations money because they don't have to purchase bags. But it saves the planet more than it saves them money, if that makes sense. So that's the kind of ratio I'm looking for. In a company that is part of the same sustainability community, is I'm looking for that ratio. If it benefits the world more than it benefits the company. Mm-hmm. I think it's great that it benefits a company and it benefits me. But I think overall, I would say shopping secondhand benefits the world in a way that shopping new doesn't. But I do think that we need an endless production of new things. Absolutely. To keep secondhand things flowing along. So, yeah, I mean, I guess we're just all still figuring this out, huh? Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's another thing, too, because, like, fast fashion, is, like, a booming, like, thing in the world right now.
Too big.
Right, and it's so big that, like, when we do get, like, fast fashion, like, brands, that's worthless to us. Either sometimes we throw it out, or like if we really need units, then we will price that at like $6.99, right? Like Shein, for example. Like Shein is the best example of this because we get so much Shein.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I've fallen victim to their ads a couple times. Absolutely. But their product is just so terrible. I always regret it. The only caveat is I do really like their undergarments. And so now that is the only fast fashion I will buy is undergarments. But to be honest, I don't really wear them that often anyway. So TMI. Moving on. I think the only other question that I have then is, so to be a better shopper, let me recap. Shop the sale more. That's good for the store because you move out things that have been there for a while. But it's good for the consumer because they save money and maybe become a more conscious shopper by looking at the tag and being willing to wait on something. Mm-hmm. What other tips do you think would make someone a better Goodwill shopper?
Never get in a reseller's way. this is like one thing. Like resellers are like sharks, essentially. So like... I'll talk about the carts, right? So a lot of the non-clothing stuff we put into carts, and that gets put out, distributed throughout. And resellers are like, they're there for the carts only.
Because it's like carnage.
Carnage, right. So like, and there's a rule that we can't let them shop in the carts because it's a bunch of random crap in it. Uh-huh. But sometimes the crowd is so big, it gets like, I don't get paid enough to deal with that, so you just kind of let them have it until like at some point like you're just like, okay, I got to distribute this.
Okay, so the tip is if you see a cart come out and a bunch of people start going through it, you're on your own.
Like
Goodwill is not going to help you if you get bitten in the shin or kicked in the face. You're on your own.
You're on your own.
Okay. Well, there are resellers that listen to this show, so why don't you talk to them a little bit about how they could be better shoppers.
Yeah. You know, don't steal from other people's cars. We get a lot of problems. Yeah, we get a lot of problems. Like, people have already bought stuff, and then people will take that stuff, thinking that it's still on sale. And we've had a lot of that problem. Someone took a whole cart once. Thankfully, we found that cart and, like, brought it back to them. But it's just, like, you just gotta be considerate of others. Like, right? Like, you can just ask them, like, are you gonna get that? And sometimes people will be like, get away from me. Or they'll just be like, no, I don't care about it. Or something like, yeah, I am buying it. Can you leave me alone? Right? But I think also work with other resellers. I see, like, the reselling community is genuinely a community. And so you'll see them get along. They'll be like, hey, Tang, how you doing? Hey, Mario, I hope you're doing well. And they all have their own specialities of stuff. So
you're saying resellers be collaborative, not competitive.
Exactly, right. Like, always go after your own thing, too. Like, we have two people, for example. Mario looks for TVs. For example, Mario only looks for TVs a lot. And that's really difficult because half the time TVs don't work that well. Like I found a nice TV for my desk and it works perfectly. So you have to test that stuff out. Chang looks for speakers.
Okay, so you're saying work together, but also have a niche.
Exactly. Yeah, because then once you have a different niche from another reseller, it's less competition and more like you can do your own thing. But sometimes, you know, you and one person are gonna have a little bit of, I want that, right? One reseller sees something differently than the other, too. So it's really just like you gotta collaborate with your fellow resellers to see like, well, I don't really see the worth of this. I mean, you can have it, I don't really see it. Or be like, okay, well, how about this? Negotiate. I've seen a lot of negotiating happening, and there's a different, like, there's like, I've seen aggressive negotiating, like one person is like not gonna give this item to this person, and the other person's like, no, I want it. They're like, come on, I'm like, I'll negotiate. Or be like, how about I do this for you? Or like, I'll find a TV for you, or I'll find a speaker for you, and whatnot. And work, be good to employees. That's one of the crucial things. Like, I love the resellers that come to Goodwill. I think because they're just some of the nicest people that you'll meet. I mean, most of the time they're selfish. Like the other day,
selfish
but nice. Like, those are the best type of people. because like I was working on carts by myself. I had two carts, and then one of the resellers, because I told him like, yeah, there's only one more, but I gotta get through at least one of these. And he just started sorting through the cart and putting stuff out, like just like working for free essentially.
So he's helping you.
Yeah. Well, of course, it was for that other cart.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. So it's the selfishness motivates them to be helpful, then it's okay. But yeah. If it motivates you to be an asshole,
then it's not okay.
Then it is not okay.
Because I've had regulars who I don't see a lot come in. I'm like, excuse me, I need to go through. He's like, I know. And I'm like, okay, well, no need for an attitude. I work here. You can clock in if you want. I always say that to those type of people. That you can clock in if you want and work around. But it's always, but really be nice to employees. Because at the end of the day, like, that's how you're going to get your stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, I can say that I thrift a lot, and the employees can really make or break my day, too. Yeah. So I think if you're being nice to them, they're more likely to be nice to you, and it just creates a better experience all the way around. Yeah. I like what you're saying. I do. And I think the funny thing is that there's only been a couple things you've told me that were unexpected, but I have a little bomb to drop on you. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Well, I snuck into the back room of a Goodwill and I took some pictures of some things that I saw that I thought were very interesting. And I'm going to tell you what they were. There are these, they look like the kinds of things I used to look for in the Sunday paper as a kid, which are like these newspaper print things that have like things that are on sale. And I can't remember what it was called, but it was like a section of the Sunday paper. And all along the top of the wall in the break room are these newspaper-looking things that have directions for pricing stuff for the Goodwill. Talk to me about that shit. Because some of the things I saw on there, I was like, hello? Mm-hmm.
Like, what specifically did, like, give me an example.
Okay, so one of them I remember, and I'm going to put some of these up on the website, which is thrifttherapypod.com. And the way it was, let's see. Oh, yeah. It said, if it's this, it's going up for auction. If it's this, it's going to be priced for $16.99. Oh, if it's okay. This, it goes for auction. So one of the things that I think is interesting we haven't talked about is the Goodwill auction, which is when Goodwill is actually reselling their own product at a reseller's price. So there was a lot of stuff like that on the top of the ceiling. What's that about?
Oh, yeah. So Goodwill also has an online shop. So sometimes we'll sell furniture up there. I didn't realize it was an auction because I work in the store. So sometimes, jewelry, for example, we don't sell that in the store. We sell that online because it's so small, it's easy to steal. So a lot of that really does depend. Or sometimes there's something that's, really expensive on, eBay and Poshmark and such. We have to put it online because then someone could steal that in the store. A lot of it's really based around, what can get stolen. It is really easy to steal at Goodwill.
Overall. Okay, so don't steal. Right. That would be another way to be a good shopper at Goodwill.
Yeah, don't steal. Because we can tell. It's really obvious.
Just don't be that person.
Exactly.
Well, okay, so that wasn't an awesome bomb I dropped on you. I thought that was going to be really cool, but it turned out to be nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm going to put the pictures up there, and you can take a look at them and see if you think it looks odd, but I just thought I was, doing some serious espionage.
No, that's pretty much, it's like an eBay, but no one really goes on there that much.
I was invited. I didn't actually break in or sneak in. I was invited back there.
Thank you for saying that.
It was more fun to be I snuck in. Okay, so overall, Goodwill seems like an okay place to work. What do you think? 1 to 5 stars.
I think it's a good, 3.5. Okay. It's one of the better jobs I've had in my life, and that's, that says a lot because I've worked a lot of, shit jobs.
What would make it better?
I think what would make it better is that if management was better at scheduling.
Oh, that's so true for any service job. But what about the pay? Would that make it better?
Yes, because they pay, at least according to the city that I work in, is, minimum wage. And I only got a pay raise because the minimum wage went up.
Okay, so better pay for the Goodwill employees. Now, this is my last question, I think. Mm-hmm. What does Goodwill do with their money?
Oh, man, that's a really good question. So I know there's, the donation thing. So the Goodwill mission is when you get asked, would you like to round up 25 cents for the Goodwill mission? And it's really hard to memorize what the Goodwill mission is about when you work minimum wage and you're just trying to make get a line going. But mostly it's a really good community benefit organization that helps get people jobs. I think that's one of the main things. Helps get people jobs, gives back to the community a lot. So a lot of that money that's donated is used for the community a lot.
Okay.
Sometimes it's really up to management a lot with that money.
Really? Sometimes, it's not a corporate?
It's also corporate. It's really difficult.
Maybe you don't know.
I don't know. What I do know is that, so pricers have to, have a certain amount of units, right? If you're working an 8-hour pricing shift, your goal is to hit 1,000 units.
Okay.
And so that gets translated into money, and it predicts how much money you will make throughout the day, or at least throughout the week.
Oh, you don't get paid by the hour?
Oh, I do get paid by the hour. I'm at the store.
Oh, the store. Oh, I see. Okay, so that's part of how they manage their goals for sale. Okay, all right. So that's very typical retail store kind of.
Yeah, and sometimes function. You don't hit your units, and they're not gonna get on you. But if you've been haven't been hitting your goal for the past, let's say, 2 weeks, and that's up like a they got to talk like what's going on, like.
Well, I guess I have one last question. I thought that would be my last one, but I have one more.
There's always more.
No, I'm going to stop here for real. Has there been any one very cool thing that you've been able to get at the Goodwill because you worked there and you saw it first?
Oh, that's a good question, because there's a lot of cool things. I'll do a list.
What's your coolest? Okay, give me a list.
I'll do a list.
I'll take a list.
So I collect DVDs as a hobby, just because I love movies. So one of the coolest things I've gotten at that Goodwill was the Avatar, James Cameron's Avatar Collector's Edition Blu-ray. And it's basically like a bunch of different versions of the same movie, of the same film.
Okay.
But like unscratched too, which is like a rare thing to find at thrift stores a lot. I think it was Microsoft made like a toy of the Halo Energy Sword. So I got that for like $1. I don't know who priced it like that. That's
You're like,
ridiculous.
I'll take it.
So that's on my wall. Also, like, someone donated, like, a tub of action figures, but, like, from, like, the 90s to the 2000s.
Oh, cool.
So, like, the action figures that I got was, like, the Batman Begins action figure. I got the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, and, like, I forgot that, like, early 2000s action figures had, like, every movable part possible. Like, even you could move the fingers, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, I also got a chair with that, apparently also from that Spider-Man movie. I think it's Norman Osborn's chair, but I have Spider-Man sitting on that chair at my desk. I have a collectible figure that was $10 of Edward Scissorhands.
Nice.
Yeah, and you can move the blades, too. And the weirdest part about that figure is that the front hairs can move because they're rubber.
Oh, that's so weird.
It's so strange. And you can't move a lot of the figure because it's a collectible figure. And then I think the two coolest action figures from the whole collection was William Shakespeare. Like, someone made an action figure of William Shakespeare.
I think that's the coolest action figure of all time.
Exactly. And then I got the Green Goblin, I think definitely like a comic accurate Green Goblin, but he comes with the glider, and the glider can move along with the legs.
And how much was that?
That was like $6.
Okay. So do you get a discount working there?
I do. I get 20%.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's not enough, but like all
you should at least get half off.
Yeah, exactly. But I also have rewards program is one of the best rewards programs because, like, depending how much you buy, or how, each time you go there, you get like 100 points that goes to $5, and then you can use it or spend or save it.
Well, that's really cool. I didn't know that. I love a rewards program. Although I really don't want to carry those stupid little plastic things with me ever again. I just want it on my phone.
Yeah.
Or my phone number, thank you very much.
But then, like, you might forget that phone number, and then you have to have the card.
Well, yeah, I guess.
I'm just an old person at heart. I always keep everything on my card.
Okay. Well, let's wrap it up. I usually ask people the thrift questions, one of which is, what's the best thing or worst thing you've done at the thrift store, found at the thrift store. Do you want to do the other ones, or would you stick around for four short questions?
Yeah, I'll stick around for four short.
Okay, they're just really fast ones. So here we go. Are you ready?
Okay.
How often do you thrift?
Anytime after a shift, so a lot.
Okay, a few times.
Or during my lunch.
Okay. Do you like to thrift alone, or do you ever go thrifting with friends?
Most of the time I thrift alone. It's just better because then I can listen to my music and not talk to anyone.
Okay, right on. Do you believe in thrift gods?
Thrift gods?
Yeah, you know, like magical blessings of thrift items that you've been wanting just showing up and...
No, shit happens. Shit happens.
Okay, so it's just all chaos.
I think I'm just a pure atheist at that point.
Okay. All right, so no gods anywhere ever. Got it. And I've almost forgotten all the thrift questions. Oh, yeah, it's a... Do you ever have a running list in your head of things you're looking for, or you just buy whatever you see?
It kind of depends. Sometimes I do have a list, and sometimes I'm like, fuck it, let's see what I can find.
Yeah, okay, so you're like a totally a thrifter at heart.
Absolutely.
Were you a thrifter before you started working at Goodwill?
Yes, but not... I'm not a frequent shopper, just in general. Most of the time, if I have to, I'll go. But now that I work at Goodwill, I'm a shopaholic, which is a really bad, big problem. But it's a good problem.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you the worst item I found, though.
Oh.
So, someone... forgot who, like, priced a rooted potato.
Wait, like a potato, like from the grocery store, but it was growing.
We don't know
everywhere.
If it was a potato, but it looked like one. It had dirt on it. Like, I thought it was like a straight up root.
Yeah.
And there's two of them. And we were just like,
bookends.
And me and my coworkers were looking like, what the fuck do we do with this? Like, we can't put it out, but this is obviously
potato food.
It was just a lot of, we couldn't figure out why the fuck someone would price this.
Well, how much did they price it for?
99 cents.
Oh, well.
I think that was just out of confusion that, like, you gotta get units somehow.
That's hilarious. Well, we're gonna stop there. That is too good. All right, well, thanks again for coming on, and you take care of yourself.
Absolutely, you too.
That was fun. I'm glad to be back. I hope you're glad that Thrift Therapy Podcast is back also. I will be releasing new episodes. I'm not going to limit myself to a schedule because I'm going to be traveling around the world, and putting a schedule on it might be difficult. Time zones, fatigue, just everything and anything that could go wrong and take all of my attention. But if you like the show and you're subscribed to it, you'll get an update every time there's a new episode. Share with your thrifting friends and let's see what we can find out there in the world. I look forward to telling you my thrift and travel stories. I think I'll call this next season of the podcast Thrift the World. That sounds right. So let's do it. Do you have any travel plans? Is there anywhere you think I should especially go? If you're in certain areas of the world and you want to tell me about your favorite thrift store, you can always leave me comments on my Instagram page, which is Thrift Therapy Style, or over on TikTok where I post Get Ready With Me videos and thrift haul videos. Let me know what's going on with you in the comments, or you can email me at thrifttherapypod@gmail.com. And as always, friends, stay thrifty. Signing off, Lavi. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Thrift Therapy. I will see you here again in 2 weeks, and we will talk more thrifting. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Tell a friend. And as always, stay thrifty. This podcast was created using Audacity. Original score created by Cody Crabb. Produced by Begin Anywhere, LLC.